It's probably the only time I'll be in the same sort of sentence with Dan Shulman. I love seeing him on Sunday nights when we used to see people on Sunday nights. Yeah, one of the best indeed. How are you, Steve?
I am well, sir. How are you?
Doing my best. It's nice to hear you.
It's nice to hear you. Well, let's get to the Mets story. We'll do a couple questions about this, because I don't want to do an entire half hour where I feel at the end I got a shower. But what does it say about Steve Cohen came in and he made some statements in the press conference about how he wanted to change the Mets culture. They did this quickly. Does that show that it's a sign that he is attempting to be a man of his word?
Yeah, that's definitely one part of it. I think it was, I don't know, I think it was kind of easier because he didn't have much of an attachment. He hired the guy a month ago, right?
Right.
So there isn't, this could have been a lot trickier. Remember, the Mets had to go through the same thing with a different storyline around it involving Carlos Beltran a year ago.
Right.
Because he was part of the Astros sign-stealing cheating scandal. And he was tangentially involved, and the Mets had to fire him 2 months after hiring him without him managing a game. But the Mets had a relationship with Carlos Beltran. That was the previous ownership that had a relationship with Carlos Beltran. So it took a little while. It was messier. It wasn't as hot-button an issue. And so maybe that was, you know, there are a lot of different things about it, so I'm not trying to draw a straight line. But the story comes out at 11 o'clock last night. Before 9 a.m., Steve Cohen sends out the word publicly. Who knows what time he told Jared Porter. Publicly, it took less than 9 hours for them to send out the word that Porter had called. So I think, you know, the Mets are not known for handling things very swiftly and, you know, with good public intention. And I think that this time they certainly managed to do it swiftly and got ahead of things as opposed to letting the story chase them.
The Mets have made, Sweeney, several moves in the last few weeks. Jared Porter's been on the job since December 13th. What has been his level of importance in some of the moves they actually have made?
Yeah, I don't know to the specific degree between breaking down between him and Sandy Alderson, who is the team president. Certainly, Porter has been involved and has had his hand. I mean, most notably, the Francisco Lindor trade. It's one of the biggest moves of the offseason. It might be the biggest move the Mets make this winter. And he certainly had a hand in it. How much of one, it's hard to tell. But, you know, listen, Steve, I've had people wondering, like, why didn't this come up? I don't know how private text messages are supposed to come up in a vetting process.
I agree with you. I agree with you. That's something people don't realize. That's very, very tough.
This was not part of a police record. It was not a part of a police complaint that somehow got overlooked in a background check. It's all very disturbing behavior, you know? And I don't think that my daughter one day will follow the career path that I took. But regardless of the career path she takes, if behavior like this is somewhere in the vicinity of her, it would kill me. And I would hope that other people would react as quickly as they reacted here to make sure that, you know, it was rectified. You know, we work in an industry where it's still a lot. There aren't very many females that work in this industry. But what happened here isn't unique to sports or baseball. You know, you hear stories like this all the time. And just today, in the last, how many hours have we heard stories from people? Yep, you wouldn't believe how many times this has happened. You know, and it's not brought up enough for fear of belief and retribution and things like that. Right. You know, hopefully this is, a lot of times, Steve, when we see things like this, it's like, okay, it's starting the discussion. nothing is going to get fixed or solved with one move or one talk or one tweet or, you know, one action. But when you start to take actions that start a discussion and start pushing you in the right direction instead of the wrong direction, I think that's all you can really hope for, at least to start with.
Which brings us to the next part. Now, obviously, having Sandy Alderson there, who's a pro's pro, I mean, the Mets can obviously move forward for whatever period of time they want before they hire a GM. But Zach Scott was a guy that the last time was right there in the thick of it. Would he be a logical possibility for the Mets?
If they want to make sure that they don't lose any more traction in the winter or spend any more time trying to go through this, yeah, I could see that. But I also think, you know, Zach Scott is also a guy that had the relationship with Jared Porter that led him to this position. So I think there is a real heart-to-heart that has to happen with him to make sure they know all they know about him before going forward here. There was not a lot of diversity in the hiring process outside of Kim Ng and the Marlins this winter. There were a few other candidates, I think, that for other jobs that would have added to the to the diversity of hiring. I don't know if any of them will get more chances here as we move along this winter in the Mets process, or if it has to wait till later. But that was one of the things that had crossed my mind when Porter was hired the first time a month ago. And, I don't know if this opens the door to perhaps adding another diverse candidate in this field.
George Springer is still one of the free agents out there. The Mets have already been able to get McCann behind the plate. The trade of Carrasco and Lindor gets Lindor at shortstop. If you want to finish the up the middle, it's George Springer. It appears to be Toronto and the Mets. How do you view it?
I think the Mets are making a really strong play. It's a matter of how far they're willing to go, because I do believe there's an option. And the more that I start to think about this, and I'd be interested to hear your take, because I know you watch the Red Sox pretty closely. Jackie Bradley Jr. is a free agent as well. He's about six
yes.
months younger than George Springer, doesn't profile as prolifically offensively, but is a superior defender who is more of a full-time center fielder. The Mets have, to the people that I've talked to, been praised for taking care of up the middle with James McCann and Francisco Lindor. They want to finish that off, as you say. Jackie Bradley Jr. might be a better way to improve the defensive part of it. You're now getting a lot more offense from shortstop than you had imagined you were going to get because of Francisco Lindor. So can you save a few million dollars and drop down to Jackie Bradley Jr. and perhaps use that money to what you're going to use to sign Francisco Lindor long-term, perhaps sign Michael Conforto long-term next winter? As a corner outfielder, I know it sounds funny to people who have been counting on Steve Cohen just signing his billions and billions of dollars away in checks and not caring about how much things cost, but watch how he's operated this winter. He did not sign the highest market free agent catcher in JT Realmuto. He signed James McCann for significantly less.
Right.
He did trade away capital to get Francisco Lindor. We'll see where he goes in signing him. You assume you make that move to sign him, but if that's the big signing, then do you drop down to someone else in center field and then not go the extra distance for George Springer? I don't know where they land here yet, but these are just some of the discussions that I think are kind of worthwhile around the Mets, because he didn't go out there, Steve, and sign Springer and Trevor Bauer and JT Realmuto and DJ LeMahieu, and he didn't make the extra year and $20 million offers to these guys that would just blow them out of the water that surely he could afford, but this isn't how he's operating. It seems he's operating a little more sensibly, even with a big checkbook, And that's why I'm kind of wondering where this goes with Springer, with Bradley, with center field, and where the big picture thing happens with Steve Cohen in the Mets.
Because he can get Bradley for a fraction. Now, again, you're right. Offensively, you'll get a sporadic performance. Defensively, you'll get a superior performance from Jackie Bradley. But offensively, it'll be sporadic.
Correct. Correct. And I don't know. Listen, is Michael Conforto coming into his zone where he's really about to take off? Is Lindor in his prime enough to offset a little bit of a lesser offensive player in center field? Are you really, you know, Dom Smith, Pete Alonso, are you starting to really, are you able to take the hit? And Springer is not necessarily a full-time center field option for more than a year or two.
Right.
Are you prepared for that? Moving, you know, and does, this isn't a conversation we had on SNY last night, does signing Springer mean you are kind of sacrificing Michael Conforto? Because he is going to cost you, $100 million plus to sign, most likely next winter. These are discussions that I think a lot of Mets fans, when they envisioned Steve Cohen's billions of dollars coming in, didn't think they'd have to make decisions like this. But as I said, the pattern he's set so far seems to tell you these are exactly the kinds of discussions that he's having.
So let's get to the Yankees for a moment on the other side of town. I mean, sometimes it's the moves you make internally that end up being your best moves. They got DJ LeMahieu back in the fold. What did that do for the Yankee offseason that finally fell into place?
I had a hard time seeing any version of the Yankees without DJ LeMahieu as being better than last year's team. The last couple of years, I should say. Bringing back LeMahieu keeps them intact. Surely there were other options that would have possibly involved moving Gleyber Torres to second base and putting someone else in shortstop. You could see the merits of that, but I simply couldn't see a version of the Yankees without LeMahieu that was better. So I think you've taken care of that. They still have pitching issues, and I'm not sure Corey Kluber solves them because he's now 3 years removed from a full, healthy, solid season. I've seen plenty of pitchers, or players, I should say, and several of the Yankees who, you sign with the hopes that they can repeat the performance of a couple of years ago, hopefully they've overcome the injuries. And rarely does it just revert all the way back to peak form. You just lose time on the calendar, and it always matters to me. So while I see the upside potential and I can see him performing well, I'm not sure he's the lock solid number two that he otherwise would have been if you had signed him, say, if you had gotten him, right, say, a year or two ago. So LeMahieu and Kluber is a good way to just kind of patch what the Yankees are, which is already a good team with a good nucleus. I don't know that I'm ready to push them over what they've already been, if that makes sense to you.
Well, but it does go back to the point you made about Bradley and Springer. They get Kluber at, I think it's a team-friendly contract. I think it's one of those where, hey, look, if you can get 10, 12 wins out of them, I think it ends up being a bargain for them.
If you get 25 starts, and this is, again, assuming a 162-game schedule, which I don't, I'm not willing to put my mortgage on, I think if you look at a normal, fully healthy season is 32 starts. If you think you're going to get 25, yeah, let's say, out of Kluber, 26, out of let's say 90% of what he was a couple of years ago, I think you would take that. I think you would take that as a successful deal.
Well, it's always a successful show when we have you on. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate the time very much in helping us navigate through some tough stuff and then some fun stuff.
I always appreciate you letting me ramble on your show, Steve. It's nice to catch up with you.
Same thing here, my man. Thank you so much, Sweeney. Best to your family. You have a beautiful family.
Same to you, Steve. Thanks so much.